Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shop all things Cherry Johnson at TheRealCherry.com.
Hey, and welcome to Cherry's World Podcast. I am your host, Cherry Johnson, and that is my co-host, Mr. Courtney Blackman. Today, I'm excited, y'all. One of my homeboys is in the house. He just so happens to be a Yahoo senior NBA insider. And he my friend. His name is Mr. Chris Haynes. Let's welcome him to the show.
This is Cherry's World.
There is an internet radio station that's generating a lot of buzz. The website is RaiseJukebox.com. What's different is it features a mix of new and throwback jams across many genres. The first Sunday each month, there are live shows with celebrity and artist interviews. Log in to RaiseJukebox.com, press play, and turn the volume up. That's right, RaiseJukebox.com. Hey, if you're listening to Cherry's World Podcast on Apple Podcasts and iTunes, please give us a 5-star. Let us know what you think. Leave us a review. I want to hear from you. Thank you.
Would you like to advertise on Cherry's World and have your product placed on Cherry's social media for the world to see? Email us now at cherriesworldpodcast@gmail.com for low introductory rates. Cherry's World Podcast. Get heard.
Welcome to Cherry's World.
Shop all things Cherry Johnson at TheRealCherry.com.
So I already did your opening.
Okay.
So we're just going to jump into it. And I just got to tell you, I don't know if you remember, I don't give a shit about sports, but Courtney, is it?
It's all good. We can talk. We ain't got to talk sports. I got questions of my own. We good.
We
got
to talk everything.
All right.
So I just have to say, I think you like commented on one of the posts or something on IG.
Uh-huh.
And Courtney hit me. He screenshotted it and he was like, do you know who this is? And I was like, Chris. And he was like, you know what Chris do? I said, no.
That's cold, Chad. That's cold.
But oh, man. I am so proud.
Oh, well, thank you. Courtney, I appreciate you for keeping my legacy alive, keeping my name alive, man.
Brother. You the man.
I appreciate it, fam. Real talk.
So can you tell Courtney and the listeners how we have, like, you know, we got history and why I just, that's Chris.
Let me say this. I was telling my daughter, just giving a little background on how I ran into you. But I always, like, I get inspired by, obviously, I think a lot of us get inspired by our heroes, the people we grew up watching on TV. And, you know, and before social media, you never really had a true avenue, an authentic avenue to reach someone, to tell them you know, how much they inspire you or what they mean to you. And so you just dreamed of, you just dreamed of having an opportunity where you could actually meet some of these actresses, these actors, these prominent figures in the world. And you just dream of like what it would be like to have a conversation with them. And MySpace. So this MySpace is like the first, for me, when I can remember, like the first major social media platform to where you really had an avenue where you can connect with some people that you wouldn't ordinarily be able to talk to and communicate with. You know, you could send fan mail back in the day, but I don't, Cherry, how often did you read fan mail back in the day? How often do you check?
I read everything.
Okay. I'm surprised.
Except for the nasty stuff. Because I was a kid, my fan mail was filtered by the studio, thank God. Yeah.
So you were getting those type of mail as a kid?
As a child at 7.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's the world. But, you know, I mean, so MySpace was, I can't remember, like, Cherry, how I connected with you. And then we connected. It was MySpace. And you responded. And I was just like, I told wifey, I'm like, you realize Cherry from Punky Brewster, like, hit me up and responded and replied? Like, this is Max. This on Family Matter. This is Waldo Geraldo Faldo's girlfriend. Like, you are, like, these are the people I grew up watching. And you responded back. And at that time, you had a friend. You know, I'm from Fresno, California. You had a friend that was in Fresno. And then you, it was crazy. Hey, Courtney, it was real crazy. She was just like really open. It was like, hey, I'm going to be in Fresno in a few weeks. Come drop by. Say what's up. And I'm like, what? Like, this before any of this. Like, this before I was nowhere in the game. Man, brother, I was on welfare back in the day. I was still trying to find my way in life. You know what I'm saying? And so we went, and it was still like surreal to knock on the door and open it up and it's her. And I'm like, this is crazy. Like, it blew my mind. And from there, we just, you know, over the years, just, you know, kept in contact with, you know, every so, you know, full moon or so. But that was surreal. And that was the first time in my life where I've actually had an opportunity to meet somebody that I grew up watching and had an impact on my life.
Aww. That's so sweet. Courtney, I mean, I was like, Chris will tell you the story, but look, Chris, I told him, Chris is the homie. I didn't even take my pajamas off for you, bro. It's cold.
Oh, you was real? No, I don't think no make. I don't know if you had makeup on, nothing like that.
I got some eco style gel in my hair.
That's why I said she ain't trying to impress nobody around here. You know what I mean? It was real. It was real homie and real cordial, like, you know what I'm saying? It was like, hey, you want to see me? Hey, this is what it is. And that's why I knew she was a real one. I knew she was a real one. And then, you know, just being around her from that time, just, you know, checking out how she talked, I'm like, okay, this ain't Max, or this ain't the cherry on Punky Brewster. This, you know, this Max from the, you know, from around the corner, from around the way.
Yeah, so I'm the homie.
Yeah, so it was cool. That was a great experience, and that's something I cherish. And I actually sent you the picture. Yeah. I sent you the picture that we took. This had to have been.
My waist was banging. I was little back then.
You still are, right, girl. This is like 2005, 2006 back then.
Yeah, that was before kids.
Man. How many now, Cher?
Oh, honey, there's only one.
Oh, it's only one? It's like, you ain't done. You ain't done, are you?
Unless somebody want to be my Sarah again, I'm done.
Okay, all right, I hear you.
Well, let's talk about you, sir.
I don't want to.
I know, because you a big deal. Like a real big deal.
Nah, not like
yes.
that.
Yes.
I appreciate it. It means a lot coming from
me. I hear you done, look, I hear, I done seen some of them, but I heard that you have just interviewed everybody.
Well, you know, most players in the NBA, I've been, you know, I was forced and blessed, and Cher, I know you've been to Fresno.
Yes.
Like, and if you haven't, you haven't missed anything. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I had homies and partners that were, you know, going to jail or getting killed. And you know, it's just like at a certain time, I felt like I had to leave. I had to leave. And long story short, I developed a passion for writing my last year in college. You know, I took that 10-year college route. You know, we graduated around 27 or something like that. So it was my last year in college. I discovered I had a passion for writing in my writing course, which is an African-American writing course at Fresno State. And I loved it. And then I was like, you know what, let me see if this translates to sports, because, you know, I played basketball my whole life. And I was just filling it out. I liked it. So I started sending like little stamp, you know, stories. I would write stories from home, send them to different publications out there. And most of the publications were like, you know what, you have some talent, but you're in Fresno, California. There's no NBA team there. If you move to an NBA market, we will credential you, get you into games. We will publish your work, but we can't pay you. And so that was kind of my thing. So me and my family, we agreed to, we moved to Portland, Oregon. I felt like it was far enough, but not too far enough that if I failed, I could come back to Fresno. So it's a 12-hour drive to Portland, moved out there. And for a year, I covered Portland Trailblazer games at night. And then during the day, I worked as a security guard for a high school and apartment complexes because I could not get a job. Like, I had this bachelor's degree in kinesiology, which should allow you to get a P job in high school and coach. And I could not find a job. The only job I could find was security work. So I did that during the day. And at night, I worked Blazer games for free. And then for a year, I did that and established myself and, you know, broke some news and got some big stories. And after that, Comcast Sportsnet Northwest, which is now NBC Sportsnet Northwest, they were hiring for somebody to cover the Portland Trailblazers, home and away, every single game, 82 games. And to be on TV three times, local TV that is, 3 to 4 times a week. I've never done any of that. I've never traveled in my life. And that's how I got the job. That's basically how I got into the business.
Congratulations. You didn't get a job because you weren't supposed to have a job. That avenue was supposed to open for you.
Yeah, nah, it was definitely God. Because, but you know, I said all that to say, you know, like when I first came in, you know, it still isn't, but there wasn't a lot of NBA reporters that looked like me, especially that came up around the hood in similar circumstances. So, you know, players recognize real, just like any person, you know, real recognize real. Like when I met you, I was like, man, she a real, you know, she the real homie. You know what I mean? Like, this ain't what you see on TV, but that's all I knew. And so, you know, once players see that, you know, this guy, because a lot of times media get a bad rap, but they know, like, you come from a genuine place, you real, you authentic. And I think that reputation has been able to carry me to where I'm able to interview, you know, the biggest players we have in our league.
Well, like I was telling Cherry, and I'll tell the audience, you know, with social media now, these stars, they don't necessarily need the media anymore. Like, you know, way Jordan had Ahmad Rashad or Shaq had, you know, Shaq and Kobe used Stephen A. They don't necessarily need a stick guy anymore. So when I saw how you just, I'm like, who's this guy getting interviews with LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry? I'm like, and it's not Stephen A. Smith? And I was like, and then next thing you know, my favorite show I listen to, Colin Cowherd. Colin don't big up nobody, but he sure big up you. And I was like, yo, this dude is the real deal. He gets everybody. So I've been a big fan of yours, man. I check out all your stuff, man. And I was just congrats to you. That's just me just telling you, man, I'm a big fan. Because, like, you know, like you said, everybody, you know, once we realize we can't hoop no more, we all want to be where you at. You know what I'm saying? if we can't play the game, we want to talk about the game. So, man, salute. Yeah. And you are the – is there any – and I don't want to, like, get you in any trouble, but is there any, like, resentment from, like, the OGs? You know who I'm talking about. Anybody like, man, this brother, he taking my shine. You know what I'm saying? Like,
resentment. I would say, look, our field, it's a competitive field. You know, everybody want the scoop. They want to break that story. They want that exclusive sit down interview. So there's a lot of that. But I will say this, like when I first got to Portland, I was the only person in that market. I mean, y'all know how Oregon is. You know, it ain't too many of us over there. Mm-hmm. So I was the only media member, black media member in that market. And then I remember when I first walked into the locker room, the Blazers locker room, the players looked over. They was like, who's this dude? I think they thought I might have been a player because I was still, you know, I wasn't far from my college days then, right. You know. And that automatically, I'm going to be real, like they were intrigued. Like, what is this dude about? Like, he looks like one of us, but he's dressing kind of funny. Like, you know, who is he? You know what I'm saying? Right. My game wasn't on point then. My attire wasn't on point there. You know what I mean? And, but then I will say this. So that I had a lot of, throughout the industry, you know, there was some reporters, you know, even some white reporters who, looked at the way I was getting my interviews. I used to hear people saying, he's only getting these interviews with these players because he's buddy-buddy with them, because he's trying to be their friend. You know, he's not doing his job. You know, you get that. Yeah, you get that. And what that comes from is just they're mad and upset because I'm coming in and they've been in the market forever.
Yeah.
And I'm coming in and just getting these guys gravitating towards me, giving me everything, giving me these one-on-ones. And I got that. I understood it. But it's still like that, you know, from time to time. It's like the ones who can't get those interviews, the only thing they can say is that, oh, you only get them because you're buddy-buddy with them. Look, I still got a job to do, like all these players do. You know, I'm going to say this real quick and I'll move on. I remember my first year when I was working for free. Like, I haven't been in that media game. I didn't understand it. And so I was so close with a lot of players where they were telling me everything.
Right.
Like, they were telling me everything. And then, like, months later, you'll start to see these reports break from other markets. And I'd be like, hold on, damn, like, I knew about that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That let me know I was a little bit too close. And so the second season, I had to go to the play. I'm like, look, guys, you know, I value our friendship. Whatever we talk about on record will never be disclosed. But just know, like, I got to do my job. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I will never break a promise. It'll always be trust there. But just remember, I still have a job to do. Like, these stories can't be breaking everywhere else, and I'm knowing about it. So if there's something that you really don't want out, you know, we probably shouldn't be talking about it. And once I established that, things have been a little bit smoother. So yeah, that's kind of the resentment I got from, you know, within my colleagues, the ones who were kind of jealous of not securing those one-on-ones.
Your coworkers, Sekou Smith.
Oh man. Yeah. Sekou Smith was, he just passed. Those don't know, he's, NBA, worked for the NBA TV, NBA.com. Sekou Smith, he passed of COVID-19. He was battling for about a week and a half. And I spent time, I was in the NBA bubble where they had the last season, where they had it in Orlando. And me and him, we were there for months and just established. We've been good friends for the last 6-7 years, but really established a real genuine rapport because there was nothing to do in that bubble. And, you know, we didn't have our women with us and, you know, it was a struggle, if you know what I mean. And so we had to figure out ways to keep ourselves engaged. And so we used to ride bikes every day and we had some nice conversations, man. And he just passed. We did not see this coming. We did not see this coming at all. And I'm so glad to see all these NBA teams paying homage and giving a moment of silence tributes before the games and reserving sections in the media room for his name. He was a funny dude. He was short. He was like 5'6", but always walked into the room like he was 7 feet tall, man. He was a funny dude, a defiant dude, but still everybody liked him, man. So, yes.
I wanted to make sure that on behalf of the show that we give you our deepest condolences.
Thank you. I'm here, like he lives here in Atlanta. And I came here, like I said, I was moving my daughter into Clark, Atlanta. over the weekend. And so I came just for that. And then he passes while I'm here. And you know, and you guys know that, you know, it's a helpless feeling. I don't know if you guys help with somebody who's passed, but it's a helpless feeling because usually, you know, when somebody's sick and got the flu or something, like, you can go over there and kind of like be with them. And with this, like, I'm helpless. Like, I'm here in my homeboy city. You know what I'm saying? And I can't even go over there. Yeah. I can't even go to his family's house and be with them. And so it's tough. It's tough. But, you know, thank you for mentioning him. That's a big loss for
sure. I heard he was a good dude, man. I listened to the brothers talk about him last night, man. I was like, wow. Just hate to hear about that kind of stuff.
Well, he's a real one, man. It's like, you know, it's funny. It's just like my interaction with Sherry when I saw her. You know, I'm growing up. I've never talked to anybody that was in any movies and films, TV shows. So you have this perception of them, like what they are on TV, their character, their role, and similar to a lot of public figures. You know, you
build that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, similar to public figures, you got this perception of what you see them on TV shows where it's debate and interview, and this dude was a real one. If I can just say this without getting in trouble, I would say he's a real, you know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, yeah.
You already know. He's a real one, man. And it ain't too many of those that come from where we come from and get to make it on that level. So, man, I'm hurt.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you.
I want to talk. It's cool.
I was going to say, I can switch the subject because I do want to know, as a woman and as a man, we have two men here. I'm like really proud of your wife because not too many men can convince their wife to move to Oregon. One, he ain't got no job. He gonna work for free.
Damn. Yeah, you ain't lying about that, Chair.
Like, and they
always say, Court, you supposed to have my back, Court.
No, but she's talking real shit now. I'm telling you that. She's talking. You're right.
So
that's a lot to ask for a woman.
A lot to ask. So they always say that, you know, a man cannot get to where he's going or be successful without a good woman by his side.
Right.
She is a fucking saint. I'm sorry, Courtney probably gonna take out the fucking, but she is a saint. How did you even muster up the courage to have that conversation? And how did you know that she was the one? Because she definitely the one. Yeah. Let me tell you, if you look left too hard, I'm going to smack your head back right. Because you ain't never going to find another one like that, ever.
Yeah, we've been together. I was 17, she was 15. We first got together.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, we've been married for 17 years now. But, man, you want to say?
It's beautiful. I'm sorry, I ain't trying to get all up in your business, but homegirl.
See, this is podcasting right here. You're supposed to talk, have conversations, you know, reveal some of these things. So that's a good question, Terry. Like, she did not want to go to Portland. Obviously, I didn't have a job. I had a degree. I felt like I was going to get a job, but, I wasn't on, we were on welfare at that time, too. So, hey, don't get me wrong. Like, we had battles. Like, our first 10 years of marriage, like,
I don't care. You're still together.
We are still together. No, we are still together, but I'm just speaking on just how we got there. And it definitely was. Me not having a job definitely was an issue because I was still like, I had hoop dreams.
Yeah.
You know, I was still like, man, I want to go to the league or I want to go play overseas. And so I was just... I convinced her. This is what it was, Sharon. She gave me a year. Was it a year? You gave me a year in Portland to see if I can. If I'm saying it wrong, say it straight. Okay. So we picked Portland, and she went to school in Portland, and she gave me a year. She was like, "I'm gonna give you a year to figure it out. If not, we gotta you know, something's got to change. And luckily, I was able to get my big break in the year. But no, definitely nobody. There's not too many women that would have allowed me to be chasing these hoop dreams for this long. And I had jobs here and there. I wasn't a complete bum now, you know what I mean?
Right.
I definitely didn't have a career for sure.
Amazing. Like, that makes me even more proud just to know that you guys made it through, to know that you found that one that would have, because let me tell you, I'd have dumped your ass quick. You're crazy.
Actually, I had a good heart though, man. Like, look.
I think it's the way
Cherry broke it down. Like, she made it, like the way you said it, Chris, didn't sound that bad. The way Cherry said it, she made it sound so cold. Like,
yeah, she went, well, hold on, babe.
Didn't have a job. You want to move away.
Hold on. I gotta let her set the record straight. Go ahead. Come on, baby. What record you want to set straight? Keep it real, whatever. How was the initial? The job, this is my wife, Charlotte. So the initial, was it I just didn't want to work, or was that?
No. He didn't want no job,
y'all. He didn't want no job. No, he was focused on doing that. But I told Chris, he always be telling half of the story.
Well, tell it before.
It was definitely a struggle, but we actually made an agreement about moving to Portland because I was going to get my master's in counseling. And so, and they had he was trying to get more journalism courses at the school I went to. And so I did give him like a year, and, you know, he hustled on that, like he said, working the security job. Yeah. And it was super crazy. Like it was crazy. Like, going, you know, seeing him go and do all that stuff. And then when he first got the job with like, Comcast, we were like really living, like it was paycheck to paycheck, you know, because he had to get reimbursements. It was just bananas. And we had four kids. Like, as soon as we got there, I got pregnant, and we had four kids, and he got the job. It was like December 5th, like a paid job. Wow. And yeah, it was crazy. And it's not for the faint of heart, I tell you that.
I had to ask because I'm so proud of you guys, and I'm so proud of you as a unit, because I don't think that he would have been able to do it without you agreeing to go.
No. Oh, you know, he wouldn't have been, I'm going to tell you the truth, he wouldn't have been able to do it at all. He was still in Fresno, California right now. So thank you. That's the truth. Hey, I'm going to drop the mic and get on out of here.
That's real.
No, that's Black love. And to me, that's everything. And the fact that you manifested. I'm such a firm believer in manifestation. I always say my life did not happen, just like happen to me. I made it happen.
Sure.
And so to find out after all these years that you made this happen is like super exciting to me, because you found your power within yourself.
But that is so true, Cherry. But I'm gonna tell you this, like, I'm being real. I'm not even saying that because you're on the show right now. I'm on your pod. But seeing you, like, opened up my eyes, like meeting you. I'm from Fresno. We don't have we'll have, like, you know, NFL got like a million roster spots, you know what I mean? So we get players to go to NFL and stuff like that, but we don't have like big stars or movie stars or anything like that. Fresno doesn't have that. And when I met you, my wife contested this, like, when I met you, my eyes was like, damn, it like, these are real, this is a real person. Like, no, for real. It this is a real person. You asked my wife. I was tripping. Like, dang, this is a real person. And so that encounter right there made me want to, like, go at it harder. Like, I gotta figure my life out. Like, I gotta see what, you know, because I knew, like, you know, my family was growing, and I still wasn't, you know, my thing was this. I have my two daughters. First, my 18, my 17-year-old now, but at the time it was just those two. My goal was to get off of welfare, to get right, before my two oldest ones can remember that we were ever on welfare. And they don't even remember none of that, which I'm glad to, you know, and my two, and I have my other two, which is 11 and 9, to them, they've been, you know, flying high, you know, since they were born. But that was so inspiring me to meet you and to see you. And it definitely helped me once I got to covering the NBA, because people, friends asked me, "Damn, what is it like talking to LeBron, to Steph, to Kobe?" And I'm like, man, they people, you know what I'm saying? They people, you know, but I didn't, you know, I had a prior experience, you know, before, you know, so you was very, you know, inspirational to me as far as how I started trending upwards.
That was really sweet, because I had no damn business even being in Fresno.
So. You had no business. No business. What? So I was like, what is she doing in Fresno? Courtney, I was tripping. Like, I don't know how. Like, I was just so happy to just be interacting with her. You know, it was MySpace.
I was wasting my time. That's
yeah, what you, I was, you was wasting time talking to me. But I wasn't about
that. I mean being in Fresno. I'm not talking about talking.
Well, okay, which I would say, well, me too, because I should have been looking for a job while I'm texting you or whatever. You know, but I don't know what you had no business in Fresno, but I'm glad you came, because, you know, you changed somebody's life.
Oh, that is so sweet. Courtney, I used to date this dude.
Okay, I didn't want to bring that up. I didn't
Hey, Corey, if you're watching the show, look, it's not the
right. Okay.
I don't have no hard feelings at all. Okay. It was wasting my time, but I don't have no hard feelings.
This is Cherry's World.
Head over to grits.com. That's GRITEEZ.com. We got something for everybody. Athletics, humor, spiritual, and woke community. Come express yourself through apparel that communicates passion and perseverance. Use checkout code CHERRY and get 10% off everything right now.
Hey, if you're listening to Cherry's World Podcast on Apple Podcasts and iTunes, please give us a 5-star. Let us know what you think. Leave us a review. I want to hear from you. Thank you.
Well, hey, Chris, I just got... Like, the way you feel about Cherry, that's how I feel. Like, I got a chance to talk to, I'm getting a chance to talk to somebody who, you know, you're the man when it comes to the NBA, and NBA is my favorite sport. So I just want to ask you this, though. Do you think, this is my theory, do you think basketball shoes have just become too cute? And that's the reason why a lot of these players are getting all these ankle injuries and Achilles and stuff like that. If you look at the way the basketball shoe was made in the 90s, look at the David Robinsons.
Yeah.
Remember the David Robinson? Shit, the shoes came on with almost up to your knee, man. You know what I'm saying? Now you look at, and no disrespect, look at the shoes that Kevin, he wears a better shoe now. But even when Kobe's my favorite player, as you can see.
Yeah,
I never liked when he went to the low tops.
The low tops, yeah.
And I think that's the one thing about LeBron. LeBron wears a real NBA shoe.
It's a bulky shoe.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's wrong with these players, man? Why are they wearing these cute soccer shoes and stuff like that in this game?
That's funny. That's a good question, because I brought this up to somebody, and I was thinking about writing a story on it, but I never did. But that's a great, great question, Courtney. This is the thing. They told me, I did this commercial with KD. I forgot what shoe. Maybe you remember what shoe that was, what number? Whatever.
11?
Maybe his 11s, maybe. But it was the first time I've been around a whole bunch of, like, Nike executives all in one room and I just heard all these conversations. And I heard these two brothers on the side. I can't recall their role with Nike. But they were just talking about how the shoes that you say that you know, that are more safe, you know, for an athlete that size, it's running, jumping, agility, changing pace. Like, the best shoe for players like that are the mid and high top shoes. But those shoes don't sell well. They don't look good when you're wearing jeans or when you're wearing pants. Nice. And so they encourage the players to try to wear those low tops or the mids. Because the casual fan, the average person, is not an NBA player. Most people aren't even basketball players. So it's all about how the shoe looks. And if the NBA player on, is not wearing that look, that small, that low top shoe on the court, then the fan is not going to gravitate to it, you know? So that is the reason. And so Kobe was weird. He loved those low tops. I was so scared to play in low tops because I felt if I would come down, like I would twist my ankle.
Exactly.
Like I couldn't do that. Yeah, I couldn't do that. But that, yeah, they actually, players actually are encouraged to wear on the court the low top shoes because those are the ones that look better and you can wear those with jeans and, you know, other fits.
Wow, marketing is more important than your players nowadays.
Well, they get taped up. You know, they wear ankle bracelets. But yeah, I mean, but there's some players like LeBron. Like you said, LeBron doesn't care. Like, he's going to wear his shoe. You know, LeBron's about taking care of his body. But there are other players who don't have that LeBron money who are encouraged, you know, to, you know, wear the shoe that everybody is going to want to wear, the one that they can wear with their regular everyday attire.
LeBron James, that's all I know about basketball right now because my daughter swears that his wife is okay with him being her boyfriend because she's six. She says, I'm six. His wife is okay with it. He knows.
I'm pretty sure Savannah, she would be. I think she'll be okay with that.
You think so?
I think she'll be all right. Yeah, all I don't right. think she's tripping. Chad, she good.
I was work. Like, I don't know, baby. That's a married man. She's like, no, his wife is okay with it.
Yeah, they're okay. I agree with her. I agree with her. I think she approves. Y'all agree.
Michael Jordan and LeVar Bell.
Uh-huh.
Do you think before the season's over, they're going to play one-on-one?
So, LeVar is very...
Ball.
I love LeVar. I love LeVar. Jordan ain't doing that. Jordan is not, he's not stepping any closer. Like, there was speculation, you know, obviously LeVar's son, LaMelo, plays for the Charlotte Hornets, which is owned by Michael Jordan. And, you know, LeVar used to always be talking this stuff about, yeah, I beat Jordan one-on-one. And so there was really discussions like, will Michael Jordan actually draft LeVar's son? Like, does he really want to deal with having LeVar around all the time, saying all these things? But LeVar, as you guys would know, like, it's night and day as far as LeVar's behavior his first few years when Lonzo compared to now. Like, he was saying something every day. And I have a LeVar story that I was at ESPN at this time, and this was Lonzo's rookie year. So LeVar was saying something every day. And I just thought it was cute at first. Like, I thought it was funny. And I went to him after a game, and the Lakers had lost. And so I go to LeVar, you know, I'm like, can I interview you? Yeah, okay. So I had a recorder on him. And he started talking about Julius Randle with the Lakers. Julius Randle was with the Lakers at the time. He's like, if it wasn't for Julius Randle, we should be winning. He should have passed the ball to my son, and we would have blah, blah, blah. And so at that time, that was like, man, this is rare that a parent is talking about his his son's teammate in the NBA. Like, it's rare. And usually, like, if in the media, you know, we talk to a lot of the players' parents, their agents, they'll give us news and information. But this was like, he was saying this publicly. And I ran with it. You know, I ran with it. You know, LeVar says blah, blah, blah. I felt funny running with it, but it's like if any other parent really told us something was going on in the locker room, you know, it's kind of news. But being that LeVar is used to saying so much, it kind of watered down the authenticity of what he was saying. And so we had to work. And so LeVar now, you don't really hear much from him. But Michael Jordan is not doing that. Michael is about preserving his legacy, and so. Letting LeVar get one shot off on him and score, it would take Mike. Michael already doesn't like the Jordan memes. He's not trying to have a LeVar ball meme, yeah. You know, getting a shot of it. So that would never happen.
He doesn't like the memes?
He hates it. He hates it.
I honestly thought LeVar was going to become a Kardashian. I did.
Well, you know, as long as LeVar didn't, I'll leave that alone. But no, he's not. He's not. he's not.
Chris didn't want the competition, or
I'll leave that alone. I'll leave that alone. I don't need that headline out there. But LeVar, he's cool. He's a cool, cool dude. I love what he was trying to do. You know, trying to start his own shoe company. You know, go against the grain and empower his sons, empower his family. But it's hard to do. Things, you know, starting as you guys know, startups are hard to manufacture. But you know, I got nothing but love for him.
Now, I actually have a kind of an insider in the NBA too, that kind of gives me information here and there. I don't know if some of it's true, but I'm gonna ask you a question.
All right.
And might get messy, but I'm gonna ask you anyway. In 2017, this is what I heard, that LeBron James was texting Chris Paul during the NBA Finals, trying to get him to come to Cleveland. And that's the reason why Kyrie got mad and left and demanded to be traded. I got this source from a teammate that was actually on the that championship. Not that, no, they didn't win the championship team. They lost to the KD and Steph Warriors. Now, the source that I have told me that LeBron was actually texting Chris Paul, trying to get him to come and be the point guard, mm-hmm. or actually play. And I think Kyrie, from what I was told, Kyrie got upset. And
is you gossiping?
Yeah. Okay. No, this is called sourcing, right? It's not gossiping. This is sourcing, right?
And you got a good source right there. Somebody else that was in there. Yeah. I would say this. So I was covering. I was working for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, covering LeBron during that time. And this is what I remember. I can't remember if I heard it was Chris for sure, but they were in the midst of trying to put a trade package together in which they would get Paul George, the Cavaliers. And part of that trade was also including getting Phoenix in on it, and they had Eric Bledsoe. Mm. And so that's the trade that I remember that almost went down. Like, okay. It was a snafu at the end. And Kyrie got wind of that trade, got wind that obviously when there's a trade going down that's Lakers related, Cavaliers related, even Miami related, if LeBron's on the roster,
right,
it has to go through him. And most likely has to get approved by him. So Kyrie found out. Now, that's something I can't recall because it was like 3-4 years ago, but Bledsoe was going to be a part of the deal. But regardless, Kyrie did get mad after he found out that some point guard was supposed to be coming over here. Mm. And, you know, you can understand what Kyrie felt like. They won a they want to tie all together. You know, he feels like, you know, that was he hit the biggest shot in Cavalier history. Yeah. And Kyrie's like, I'm telling you, like, he's one of the, like, toughest guys I ever covered. Like, he's different. And he's different. I'm pretty sure your source told you some things. But I wouldn't dismiss what you just said at all.
Can we tell Cherry something about Kyrie? Kyrie Irving believes that the world is flat. No, I'm serious.
For the aunties out there, right? Aunties want to know, what is the difference between sourcing and gossiping?
Ooh, man. Damn, you hitting it hard. You hit me below the belt right there.
I mean, I'm just saying, because I got some sources who be telling some things too.
Yeah.
The difference is you don't care, though. That's the reason why you don't
care. Yeah, I totally don't. Gossip does this to me. It's like.
But this is not gossip. This affects the way we gamble or watch the game next year.
Just so you know, I got family members I don't even talk to because, like, I can't.
But this ain't gossiping, though.
Jim. I don't have girlfriends, Chris. Like, all my friends are dudes. Because the second, like, they start the, you know, such and such. I'll be like, oh, you're in
this. Chris, please, Chris, please explain this to her so she don't think I'm gossiping.
Right. No, I just want to know. No, that's a very... I mean, if you're gossiping, that's your thing. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not gossiping. I'm gonna check out.
But what is the difference between sourcing? Because I got a source that say this girl named Kimberly,
yes,
she's pregnant by my other friend, baby daddy.
This you know is not the same thing. I'm not. We're not talking about personal. Go ahead, Chris.
So the difference is, I'll try to relate this properly. So you have in our business, our line of work, you have the players' agents, and you have the general managers who signs these players. You have owners who, you know, obviously approve of the signings. And then you have family members. But in my job, it's like you have to, just like any relationship, you have to build trust to a point to where, like, it's this. Like, there's certain things that's just off my radar. Like, can't no agent or some GM say, hey, man, such and such is missing the game because he got caught in a room with another woman. His wife found him and beat him up bad, and now he can't play tonight. Like, the news for me is that such and such ain't playing tonight.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the news. I'm not putting out the personal, you know, the personal business. And so, I mean, is it gossip? I mean, to a certain extent, it could be gossip. You could consider it that, but
it's not gossip.
It's sourcing. Y'all just gave me two vocabulary words.
Hold on. Is gossip true? Do you consider gossip to be true? Are you gossiping if it's true?
I done heard a whole bunch of gossip about me that ain't true.
Okay, well, then that's not gossip. I'm reporting real facts out there that pertains to basketball as it pertains to what's going on the court. To me, that's fair game. Like, I don't care about who you smashing on the side and what baby mama and kid, you know, that's not me. But I have to establish relations. Like, when it comes to trades and breaking free agent signings, I have to rely on the teams or
sources.
The agents. Yeah, the sources.
Well, now, where I messed up at, Cherry, and I trust Chris, I shouldn't have said where I got the information.
Oh yeah,
from.
You know, I ain't sure.
Right. But see, that's messy because I wasn't supposed to say that. Now that's considered gossip.
He was gossiping.
That's gossiping.
So wait a minute. So I just want to know. So if I know something to be a fact, right? And I don't say how I know, but I go tell it, that's sourcing.
Yeah.
That's gossiping.
That's sourcing. I mean, look, they're giving you real, like, but you got to trust these people. You know, you establish the trust, but they're giving you factual, accurate information. They just don't want to, you know, they can't have their name associated with it. And you can't do that with everybody because there's a lot of people that just be saying stuff off the wall and you can mess up your credibility. You know, so it's all about having people you trust. But yeah, like when it comes to charity, look, like the free agent signings, right? The NBA has a window to where the first 5 days of free agency, a player can agree to a contract, but they can't officially sign that contract until the fifth day. Just give me an example. And so GMs or agents or whatever they say, they'll tell us, give us the word, hey, player is going to Cleveland. LeBron is going to Lakers, such and such. And if they were to, if I were to put it out that such and such agent told me this right now, the player would get fined, the team would get fined, they may not be able to make that. And so they're giving me the scoop. They're letting me have it. This is what's going to happen, but you didn't get it from me. So those are the that's sourcing. Gossip, and the players know. A lot of times the stories that I break, the players know that I'm going to get it, and they're okay with that. So I'm not going behind anybody's back.
And sometimes the players will give people like Chris a story just to stir up some stuff, just so they can get more money or
what, all entertainers do that. Media is a game that most outside people don't know.
So are you a fan of, because this is your, you know, now are you a fan of TMZ?
No.
No, she's not.
In fact, I got an email the other day because we're starting to do Punky Press now that Punky got rebooted.
Congrats.
Thank you so much that Harvey requested an interview, Harvey and some other person. And I was like, hard pass. I am going to do like Good Day LA. I'm going to do Good Morning America. Yeah. I'm going to do media, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not doing paparazzi.
I respect that.
And I had to watch the way I said it so Courtney doesn't cut it out. And then my manager hit me because TMZ hit my managers, my agent, and my PR and sent the same message basically. And I told them all hard pass. Now my manager is like, well, maybe you should do it. Da 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 da. And I'm like, did you forget they lied on me?
Yeah.
A couple years ago, I was doing Playboy. After that, I was dating Ricky Rimmitz. I'm not doing TMZ. They're not my friends. I have no respect for Harvey. Okay. Because Harvey has no respect for anybody else. Anytime Vanessa Bryant is not my best friend, I will keep my opinions to myself. But anytime that she found out that her husband and her daughter was gone from TMZ before the family was notified, I have no respect for that.
Yeah. And that's what I'm telling you. That's the difference. Like that was, you can't find out that way. Like,
wrong.
That's going to.
They have no integrity.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And other people in your position play the game of giving them their access.
Well, because he needs you. That's what a lot of people do. The people on the outside doesn't realize if you drop a dime, if you tell a story, like I understand why I was engaged to Ricky Romance. Mm-hmm. They paid somebody $1,500 for that story.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't appreciate it, but I understand it.
Nah, that's real. And that's perspective right there. That's respect. And I appreciate the integrity in that. Cause like I said, most people in your position would give them that, you know, just out of favor, just to stay in their so-called good graces. And, mm-hmm. I respect that.
Yeah, no, we don't do that because what is TMZ calling me in for? To ask me about my friends?
Yeah. Are you right?
Mm-mm. Right. I don't play that.
No, you right.
Don't ask me shit about nobody in a business because first of all, 9 out of 10, I don't know because I ain't listen.
Uh-huh.
And second of all, if I do know, what make you think I'm going to tell you?
I'm going to tell you. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. So you said, I'm going back to something you said initially. You said, You intentionally do not talk to some of your family members because
yes,
they'll spill or not even spill. They'll make some things up. And
when they don't know what's going on, they send a little cousin in to try to peel information. Like they just messy.
Yeah.
And they constantly talk about you. And then I got this little cousin who she's so cute, but she was born with, she's delayed.
Okay.
So she repeat everything they say about you. She tell you. But they send her, because I talk to her, they send her to gas me up and get the information.
Yeah.
Like, they talk about you bad. That's cool. why am I going to involve myself with that?
Mm-mm. Yeah. And then for you, somebody who's been in the spotlight, you know, ever since you were a child, like, I can only imagine, like, things you had to go through or the barriers you had to put up.
When your own family talk about you bad,
when
strangers start doing it, it don't make no difference. You don't care.
And it probably hurts more because it's coming from your family.
It don't hurt no more.
Oh, okay.
It's been happening. I'm 45 years old.
Yeah.
You're a real one, ain't you, Chris?
That's what I love about it. I'm telling you. I found that out. That's what I loved about it. I'm like, man, that's what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah, they so messy they don't even know they messy. Like you tell them, I tell my cousin and she'll go back and repeat it. I'll be like, tell them to stop gossiping about me.
Yeah.
They messy. She's like, oh, you think that we're messy that we're talking about you? Yeah, but I appreciate you putting me up on game, boo.
Are you getting messages right now, huh?
Hey, all the time.
Okay, be careful. I don't know. You know, we don't want to start nothing. We don't start nothing.
I'm already the black sheep. They know I don't fuck with them. It's not a secret.
Well, but no, I'm really happy. I'm, for you getting this reboot.
Thank you. Look at him trying to change the subject.
No, I know. I'm trying to get you out. I'm trying to get you out the hot. We don't need no more drama. We don't need no.
They don't even come. There ain't gonna be none. There ain't gonna be none. But thank you so much. Okay, I'll change the subject. What's his name? Geek Freak?
The Greek Freak.
There you go, Greek Freak. You think he's going to stay in Milwaukee or leave?
So he signed his extension. It was like a 5-year extension a couple months back. But I got a little Fresno angle to Greek Freak. So his girlfriend is my cousin from Fresno. Her name is Mariah Riddlesprigger. And so the Haynes and Riddlesprigger, we're all related. And so, you know, they had a son. So I'm Chris, the Fresno Freak Haynes.
Where did that name come from, dude?
Oh, what, the Greek Freak?
Yes.
You gotta ask my cousin.
Uh-oh.
No, I mean, he's a freak of nature on the court. You know, just long, you know, 6'10", 7 foot. He's long, he's acrobatic. You know, that's why they call him the Greek Freak. But it could be another reason. But I would say it's basketball related.
Growing up, who was your favorite team and your favorite player?
My favorite team was, you know, Michael Jordan, Chicago Bulls. Chicago Bulls were my favorite team. But my favorite player, and it's funny because if you were to know me, most people think my family thought I was crazy growing up. So my favorite player is Latrell Sprewell. And if people don't remember Latrell Sprewell,
he's
the one that choked his coach back in the day. But I grew up in Fresno. We got all the Golden State Warrior games. And so they were losing all the time, but I saw every single game. And this is before NBA League Pass. You couldn't watch all these out-of-market NBA games like you can now.
Right.
And so I fell in love. I was a Sprewell fan. That's my favorite player of all time. He's not one of the best players, but that's the one I gravitated towards, too. And
he was a dog, boy.
Straight dog, man.
Man.
Real.
My dunks, I always did the tomahawk dunk.
Yeah.
Tomahawk dunk. I did that because of Sprewell. That was his go-to.
Yeah.
Go-to dunk.
Nice. Nice. Here, I got to ask both of y'all a question, though, real quick.
Yeah.
Now this, I'm bringing this. I used to do another show, and I'm gonna bring this over. It's an NBA conspiracy, and both of you all know this guy. I hope I don't get. I just gotta ask this question though. All right. Do you think it's possible? And then I know it's gonna sound like Kyrie Irving. Do you think it's possible that Shaquille O'Neal is an alien? How do we know that? No. I want you guys to listen to me. Hear me out first.
I'm here.
How do we know that Shaq is a real person? This man, in order to make a Shaquille O'Neal, there has to be another version of him somewhere. If his dad was Wilt Chamberlain, I'd be like, okay, Shaq, okay, I see how Shaq got here. Where did Shaq come from? Like, seriously, this man is legitimately 7 foot two. Now, I've only seen statues of him. You guys have been around him. Where did this guy come from? And so, not to sound like Donald Trump, I want to see his birth certificate.
Well, I met his mom.
Okay, I've seen his mom, and she's average size height. But
now his dad, he wasn't raised by his real dad.
Exactly.
So I don't know that I've ever seen his real dad.
Exactly.
But you could say the same thing, Court. You could say the same thing, LeBron James. How did he, a 6'8" dude that moved like that, big, like muscular like that?
But he works hard on his body. But you can't explain. You can explain LeBron. How do you explain Shaq? Like, how do you explain that? I just want to know, where did he come from?
Hey, I got it, man.
Not to sound like Trump. Don't you think we need to see his birth certificate?
Hey, man. So if you see his birth certificate, what would you suspect his he came into the this world weighing?
I don't know. Like, I mean, there's a good book.
If Shaq is an alien, honestly, it answered a lot of questions I got about bruh.
I mean, in that case, you put him in that category. There's a lot of players out that I would like to know. Not player, people too. You know, so you just can't make it up. Like, there's some people I know, dad is 6'1", mom 5'9", and they 6'8", 6'9". I'm like, how does that work? Like, I got to see. I got to know who was delivering milk at that time. You know, who was the mailman around that time?
You never seen anybody else walking around Earth that looks like Shaq.
There's a lot of tall men in this world.
Shaq is not tall. Shaq is a giant.
I'm going to tell you this. There is some, like, I don't mean to do this, and this, you know, I apologize in advance for thinking this way, but there are some 7 feet people out there, and I see them, and they'll be, like, working at these most obscure places. You know, I'll be like, dude, what were you doing? Like,
hey, thank
like,
you.
Like, come on, man. Like,
that's my
I could have had that. You could have gave me that hat. Now, Cherry, you don't know this, but I know we're getting off. But there are a lot of 7 feet NBA players. They don't like the game. There's a lot of, like, they don't like the game. The only reason they're playing because they're 7 feet and they can do it and get paid a lot of money. But they don't like the game. And so that's my point. Like, you can't be. I'm lightweight playing, so don't take me serious. But, you know, I just see 7 feet people just, like, painting a house or on top of a house doing the bricks.
Not playing because I met this dude. He's in Pasadena, California. He's fine as can be. I just knew that he had to play ball.
Yes. He didn't play no ball?
He is the cashier at CVS.
And look, some people, even if you're 7 feet, you're just not good enough. I got a problem with the ones that just didn't play.
Wait a minute.
He said he was never good. I was like, you ain't got to do nothing. Just stand there and go like that.
Yeah. Wait, no, there's no such thing as a 7-footer that's not good enough.
No, I played. No, hold on. I ain't calling my boy out, but I played. I had a 7-footer on my team. Bro, he wasn't making it to the league, bro. Hey, because one thing about being 7-foot, not all of them can, like, run agile and timing and stuff like that, be able to time and jump. Like, we take those things for granted because we small. Like, I'm 6'2". You know, we can do that. But it take a lot to be able to run up and down, change pace, you know, change speed. So, you know, I'm just like, man, that height could have been used for.
6'2 is not small. I'm 5'6". 6'2 is not small.
Well, in my world, walking around, people I walk around with, I'm typically the smallest person.
Cherry, I got to ask one more question. I had this written down, and this is a theory of mine. Now, do you remember when LeBron played for? Now, this might be low key gossiping, Cherry, so you might got me on this. But I need to ask, do you remember when a LeBron got mad at? You remember when LeBron got mad at Phil Jackson?
Yeah, when he called the posse
right? Stuff. Right. Okay. Right after that, Phil Jackson and Jeannie Buss. They broke up, right?
It was right after that?
Yeah, about a year maybe so. She made a public announcement saying, we're not together anymore.
So you're saying that.
I think that Phil and Jeannie are still together. I think they're still together. But she had to say they're not together to get LeBron.
To get LeBron. So this was a years in advance. This is a year of planning. A year in advance planning that they were going to cause this fake breakup just so LeBron would consider them once he would, you know, became a free agent.
Am I crazy?
Courtney, excuse me, Cherry, your co-host is messy. Messy.
You see how far he is, man.
Cherry, messy. Hey, Cherry, messy.
That's the worst, man. Hey, that's the worst.
Hey, Cherry, don't try to put it all on your family. It's Courtney right there. Don't look no further. Don't put it all on your family.
I'm done, man. I'm done.
Hey, I swear my pockets, man, every time I come home, man, they be coming up with these things too, man. I be like, man, what y'all be doing with y'all time, man? Like, that's why it's funny, man. I be getting that stuff all the time.
That's a lot to think about.
Hey, but you know, you know how people is, you know what I mean? When they get, you know, get some weed in their system, man, they, you know, they start thinking. They got to come up with all these elaborate, you know what I mean, plots. And
oh, man. You know, I thought it was pretty good. Okay.
That's why I blame it on Court. Court just blow one before.
That's pretty good, man. All right.
Chris, please come back like every season at Cherry's World. Let me know what you're doing now. Let me know how the kids are doing.
No, I definitely will. You ain't said nothing but a word. I got to ask this, Cherry.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this reboot of Punky Brewster.
Yeah.
But I keep seeing it every year. They talking about potentially a reboot of Family Matters. And I remember I asked you about this even way back. Is that a possibility? And if it's a possibility, is it a possibility that you would be a part of it? And I'm going to tell you this, before you answer that, your boy, Darius, your man, I saw an interview with him not too long ago, and he was like, if I'm a part of it, if it gets started, he said, I'm bringing Cherry. She has no choice but to come on. So what you say?
Yeah. I am going to do whatever Darius tells me to.
That's what I'm talking about. My wife need to hear that. That's what I'm talking about. Just do whatever Chris says. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to do whatever Darius tells me to. But yeah, I mean, I hear it from the fans all the time. I've never heard it from one of the producers.
Okay. Well.
But if the money is right, you know.
Oh, for sure.
But if Darius says, yo, even if the money's not right, and he says, babe, I need you to show up, I'm going to show up.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. But in the meantime, I'll be looking forward to this Punky Brewster reboot.
So. Thank you. I pray that you enjoy it. I thank you so much for growing up with me and continuing to grow with me and letting me grow with you.
It's all good. It's all family. It's all love.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys for bringing me in.
Black love goals over there.
We tried, girl.
I want to be able to trust a man like that.
Oh, girl. Sure, you know.
Baby, we'll move out of it to a different state and you won't get it.
I'm not going to say it hasn't been easy.
That's love.
I done got kicked out multiple times.
But she let you come back, so it don't even matter.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it don't matter. Well, she let you back. It mattered when I was out.
A bunch of people out, they never came back in.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's the bright side.
Who winning the NBA championship this year? That's my last question.
Nah, man, Court. It's like, man, I know Lakers, like, they don't got their foot in the gas right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because they were in the bubble, they didn't have much of an offseason. You know, AD's not playing the minutes he played, LeBron as well. But I still think when it's all said and done, when it's time to play, it's hard not to pick the Lakers as the favorites. It's hard not. You know, I'm here in Atlanta. I saw Brooklyn play last night. And, okay. You know, they can cause some ruckus, but I still, as of right now, I think it'll be Lakers and Milwaukee in the finals.
Welcome to Cherry's World.
Shop all things Cherry Johnson at TheRealCherry.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.